Father, we thank you so much that you send Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you so much that you came. Holy Spirit, would you anoint us with revelation of Jesus, that this morning we will leave this place with a new perspective of our Christian life in you. So, dear Lord, I ask of you to bless this time. What a privilege, oh Lord, to be able to share this message on Good Friday. I pray that, Lord, the ears of your people will be cleansed and open to the very words that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It was the darkest day in history. Never before did the sun in Israel hide his face from noonday to 3 p.m. But that day, the sun bailed out of his rhythm and life was sucked out of the planet. The Savior of the world hung on the cross, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm going to do a meditation on Psalm 22 today. So if you have got your Bible, Psalm 22 is where you will turn to. I'm just going to go. And if you are following, it's in Psalm 22 in your Bible. Psalm 22 verse 1 echoed this cry. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. I want to say this to you. It wasn't a cry of abandonment. It wasn't that the Father abandoned Jesus on the cross. It wasn't a rejection by the Father. It wasn't the Father turning his face from Jesus. It was actually the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father, because every young Jewish boy is taught to pray. No one is good except God alone, and that's found in Mark 10, 18. And God is so good to endure such agonizing suffering for us. Good Friday is a day where God laid down his life for us because he regards us as his friends in John 15, 13. And there's no greater love than this, that God, our good God, laid down his life on the cross for us. This morning, if you are feeling that sense of being forsaken or that sense of being alone, perhaps you are going through what Jesus went through on that very dark Friday night. I want to say this to you. Jesus empathized with you, because he experienced that exact feeling on the cross. And he wants to assure you this morning, this is Good Friday, so the Lord has a lot of good words for you. He wants to assure you that your feeling of abandonment is only your human feeling. It does not mean that the Father actually abandons you. So if you are alone, you are not abandoned. If you are lonely, you are not abandoned. It's your human feeling. It does not mean that our Heavenly Father actually abandons you. Jesus felt that sense of abandonment because of the sins he carried. But this is good news. The Father is not separated from him. There will be universal chaos if ever the Father and the Son are separated. That really would be hell. But on the contrary, on the cross, when Jesus was hung on the cross, Jesus saw a new heaven and a new earth. And this is recorded in Psalm 22. He saw a new heaven and a new earth with generations upon generations proclaiming his righteousness in Psalm 22, 31. And the generations will proclaim, he has done it. This morning, Robin's second song, he has done it. He has done great things. The Lord Jesus has done great things. Our good God has come to our rescue. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you are reconciled to the Father, not estranged from Him, not separated from Him. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you are loved by the Father, not rejected by Him. And like the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the beloved of the Father. The Father loved you so much. I was listening to Lauren Daigle's song. He says, when I don't feel I belong, I feel I don't belong. And sometimes we have those feelings that I don't belong. And then Lauren sang this song and says, you say I am yours. God says we are His because Jesus has done great things. He has done it. He bridges the gap. He restores our brokenness. And He attaches Himself to us so that we are not orphans in our spirit. We are children of God, as the orange t-shirts say. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's what Good Friday is all about. And He will continue to do great things in you and through you when you let Him. Only when you let Him. Nailed next to the criminal who deserved punishment and hell, Jesus flooded him with hope. He told the criminal that is nailed next to him in Luke 23:43, he says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise on the cross. Paradise came out of Jesus' mouth on the cross. Paradise is a garden in heaven. It was the unspoiled garden before the fall of Adam and Eve. It is like an Eden, the place of future happiness. Jesus knew where He was going, but He doesn't want to go alone. He was inviting the criminal next to Him to come along with Him to His kingdom. All the criminal could offer to Jesus was his belief in Him and nothing else, because he couldn't come down from the cross. There was nothing he could return the favor. Even when he is so grateful to the Lord Jesus for telling him that he's going to be in paradise, he can't come down from the cross. All he did was simply to receive the invitation from Jesus and Jesus' blessing. Paradise is not some remote place accessible only to the exclusive few. I want to say from 1 John 5:12, the Bible tells us that whoever has the Son has life. Paradise is in you when you receive the Son. When you open your heart to God, paradise starts today. The criminal on the cross next to Jesus enjoyed the last few hours of his life in paradise. It's hard to believe that paradise can happen on the cross. Usually we associate a lot of other things with the cross, but paradise can happen on the cross. You would expect pain, not paradise. And so I say to you, if you're going through difficult times, when you are climbing a difficult mountain in your life, don't focus on the climb. Don't focus on your sore feet. Don't focus on your aching back. Because you are adding pain to pain. You focus on the cooling off. You focus on the reward. You focus on the promise of paradise. If you are going through a bad patch this morning, the author of life has not finished your story yet. He's still writing your story. He has not finished your story yet. Good Friday is here today, yes, but Easter is coming. Hold the image of hope, the promise of paradise, at the forefront of your mind. And let the Spirit that resurrected Christ at Easter empower you to do the climb, whatever the climb is, to endure the suffering and to expect the victory. Victory can happen to us because Jesus took it all. As the song says, He took the fall and He thought of you above all. Psalm 22 prophesied the fall. If you read the verses 12 to 13 and also verse 16, the fall of Jesus was prophesied there. It says, many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. That's exactly how Jesus felt on the cross. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. On that day, Good Friday, at the foot of the cross, rulers, government officials, Roman soldiers came, sneered at Jesus and mocked him. It was an incredibly dark time for the Lord. Now we remember what our senior pastor says to us. He says, Pastor Aaron says, when the sky is very black, what do? You look for the stars. When the sky is very dark, look for the stars. There were stars of support at the foot of Jesus. So even though there were rulers and government officials and Roman soldiers sneering at Jesus and giving him a mouthful this morning, early in the morning, I was in the room preparing the sermon, and there was a big shout out, big fight between some workers that were working opposite my place and our neighbor. And it was so loud. It was sneering and scorning and swearing and cursing. I thought maybe the Lord gave me that good experience of what actually happened that day. I think it was a lot worse. The rulers, these are Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers are very aggressive and rough and I said aggressive, fierce. But there were stars of support at the foot of Jesus. All those who knew him. If you look at Luke 23, verse 49, it says, all those who knew him were at the foot of the cross supporting Jesus. And there were women who followed him from Galilee. And that's found in Luke 23, 49. And there were a lot of Marys in this group of women. Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Clopas, Mary the mother of James and John, the mother of Zebedee's sons. His own mother Mary was there, and John, his beloved disciple, was also there. And John was so near to Jesus that Jesus could entrust his mother to John's care. These disciples and these people were watching everything. They watched everything. They were by the side of the Lord Jesus the whole time. And I could picture Jesus on the cross when it got really, really tough. He would look at his disciples, John and the other women, and begin to draw strength from them. They were his stars. I want to say this to you. Be the woman or be the man or be the girl or the boy who support other people in their darkest hour. Because you are the star that God created to be in the dark sky of others. And you know that you are the star that shines brilliantly when you hear stories about you. I think it's good to hear stories about you, behind you, in front of you, to you. It's good to hear stories about you. But if this is a story about you, then I think you have really shone very brilliantly as the star of God, the star of support. And this is mentioned by Justin DeLahaye in one of his writings. I know that you are a star, if I can say this of you. I was hungry, and you feed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was scared, and you comforted me. I was soiled, and you changed me. I was ignorant, and you taught me. I was threatened and you protected me. I was orphaned and you adopted me. I was aimless and you mentored me. I was unemployed and you hired me. I was lost and you evangelized me. I was unpopular and you befriended me. We were all lost, but Jesus found us. We were all sinners, but Jesus saved us, being savagely tortured for us. If you read Psalm 22:6, Jesus was likened to being a worm, not a man. He was scorned, despised, mocked, insulted, humiliated beyond measure. His whole body, if you see the watch the movie, The Passion of Christ, I can't watch the movie. I've always skipped a lot of scenes. I just can't watch it. Because the body of Jesus was so twisted and so wounded beyond repair. Psalm 22, verses 14 to 15 says, "All my bones are out of joint. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death." Can you imagine? The very mouth that spoke creation into being, that made the sun, the moon, and the stars, that began the universe, could not articulate any word on the cross. Jesus foreknew this suffering will be like that. And that's why he pleaded with the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." If you watch The Passion of Christ, the actor there is Jim Caviezel. He played the role of the Lord Jesus in The Passion of Christ, as I say, and he reported the humiliation and the injury in the filming, even though it was only pretend for him. He reported this humiliation. He says he dangled nearly naked on a cross in bone-chilling winds when he was filming. He was struck by lightning. He endured a 14-inch gash in his back. No stuntsman. He wanted to do it himself. He wanted to really experience the pain of the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked for it. He's a Christian. He asked for it. He dislocated his shoulder carrying the cross. And he caught pneumonia and a lung infection. He endured cuts and scrapes and back aches from the chains he bore. In an interview, he said to the people who interviewed him, he says, "But I would not have had it any other way." Like Jim Caviezel, Jesus also would not have it any other way. He knew he was born to die. He knew that death is the only way to obtain salvation for mankind. He was willing to die so that we receive forgiveness of sins. See, God knew on our own, we cannot keep ourselves alive. Maybe on this earth, we can keep ourselves alive. We know how to find a living. But in infinity and beyond, we can never be able to keep ourselves alive. And Psalm 22:29 says, "Those who cannot keep themselves alive, Christ came to give life." The blood of Jesus sets us free. The blood of Jesus means death to death and life for us. Our chains are gone. Our debt is paid. The cross has overthrown the grave. This was a song led by Rajiv, I think one of the weeks before. Jesus knew the truth that he needed to endure the road of suffering, because the road of suffering is also the road of glory. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, his resurrection, and his ascension is the power of God unto salvation. That's the glory to all who believe. You take the glory. Jesus take the suffering. Jesus knew it. Because he knew that through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and you read that in verse 26 in Psalm 22, he says, the poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who suffer, he will not despise or scorn. If you're suffering today, he doesn't despise your suffering. He doesn't minimize your suffering. He is with you. He empathizes with you. Those who cry for help, he will not hide his face. He will show up and you will be saved. Those who seek him, their hearts will live forever. Those who trust him, he will deliver them. Hallelujah. God knew the road of suffering is also the road of glory because the glory is going to be in you. Jesus rules and Jesus reigns. All the ends of the earth, verse 27 to 28 of 22, Psalm, says all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord and he rules over the nations. Church, if you are going through the road of suffering right now, I want to say to you, it is not a dead end. Whatever the suffering is, it is not a dead end. Be inspired by the example of the Holy Spirit and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ that this road will lead to a road of glory. Your test will bring forth a testimony. The road of suffering is also the road of glory. The Lord will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are not able, because you are his glorious inheritance. You are the jewel on his crown. And he will die so that you will live and live abundantly. Good Friday happens because Christ had us in his mind. We're going to come to communion very soon. But a dark world needs the light. And Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is also the light in your life. However dark things are around you, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he's the light. A love deficit world needs a loving touch from God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. On Good Friday, God comes to the world with his goodness and his generous abundance, gift after gift after gift, grace upon grace. I don't say this because I'm a very extroverted, expressive person. This is found in John 1:16. That the Lord comes to you, gift after gift after gift, grace upon grace. And Good Friday is God's greatest gift to us. Jesus is the Father's greatest gift to humanity. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Let's ask the people who are serving the communion to come forward and to distribute the bread and the cup. Jesus gives his life up so that we get our lives back. Paradise is only possible in Christ. For God seeks to indwell you on earth. And your greatest response this morning on Good Friday to the Lord Jesus Christ is to let him love you. We thank God that it is Good Friday. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This morning, if you're not well in your body, receive his healing. Jesus took some bread and says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Eat this as a way of remembering me. This morning, let's remember the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. Let's remember Good Friday is good because Jesus redeemed our world of darkness to his marvelous light. Receive his light this morning. Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he says, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. And I will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This morning, if you feel that you are so laden with so much guilt and shame and sin and condemnation, receive his forgiveness. And if you think life is only here and now, I want to tell you there is a there and then, because the Lord Jesus Christ promised us a future kingdom with him. Receive that revelation. Because when you know that it's a future kingdom in Christ, you live quite differently here. And thank God, and thank God, and thank God. It's Good Friday. Let the song minister to you.
Tomorrow.